roll and start the recording.
This meeting is now being recorded.
Sorry, Judge Barton. Go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and take roll call and see who we have on the line. Judge Barton?
Yes.
Ms. Carter?
Yes.
Judge Bloom?
Here.
Judge Buckley?
Here.
Thank you. Judge Herman?
Yes.
Judge Margonda?
Here.
Thank you. Judge McCabe? No, not yet. Okay. Ms. Eberhardt?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Fleming?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Planet? Not yet. Okay. Mr. Taylor?
He's out of the country.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Mr. Yamasaki?
Here.
Okay. We have enough. We can proceed.
Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes? And if so, would someone be willing to make a motion to approve?
Yes, this is David Yamasaki. I move approval. And I was on the committee back then. I know it's been a bit of time.
Is there a second? Well, I was on the committee. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is Judge Marigonda. I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Are there any that oppose? Okay.
Sherry, this is Nancy. I'm going to abstain. I wasn't on the committee then.
Centering left.
I abstained as well. This is Barton.
I think we still have enough to approve the minutes, though, don't we, Donna?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. For the new members, I've been asked to just give a little bit of information about the purpose of the Revenue and Expenditure Committee. And anyone who's been on the committee a long time that wants to add anything, feel free to, you know, add any information. I have had the opportunity of being on the R&E committee for a long time, and I believe that our primary goal is to help align the limited funds that the Judicial Council spends on behalf of the trial courts with the needs of the trial courts. And you'll see that we'll look at various reports on the status of the IMF. We'll get reports on the trial court trust fund. We will hopefully not have to go through the very painful work that was done back around the Great Recession, where we had to reduce the amount of spending in the IMF by several million dollars. It took probably three or four full days where we had to go through line item by line item and make recommendations for reductions or eliminations of programs and spending. And that was something that, you know, I hope we never have to do again, because we eliminated some really great programs, but it was because we had to reduce it by $12 million. It was a really big amount that we had to reduce from spending. I've been really pleased to see in the materials last year and this year where the amount of the IMF and the expenditures in the IMF account are more closely aligned with each other, and so I'm not anticipating that we have to do any of that hard work, at least this fiscal year for sure. So that's kind of at a high level what the purpose of the committee is just to help understand where the funds are spent on behalf of the trial courts and provide any input or suggestions on how those expenditures may be able to be curtailed or expanded or reviewed. Does anyone have anything they'd like to add, or does anyone have any questions? Okay. So, Donna, did we get any written public comments for this meeting?
No, there were no public comments.
Okay. So, are we ready to introduce the first agenda item?
I believe we are.
Okay. Well, I'll turn it over to you.
Hey, Sherry, this is Mike Plant. I just want to announce that I jumped in on the call. Sorry, I'm late.
Thank you, Mike. Did anyone else join? Oh.
Hi, this is Elsie from Budget Services.
Great.
Hi, Elsie.
Okay, Donna.
Okay, item one is on page six of your materials, and it is looking to adjust or augment some approved 2017-18 allocations. So let me just kind of go through a little bit. There are two offices, the Court Operations Services, Language Access Plan and Support for the Court Interpreters Program, and the Information Technology Office for Jury Management Programs. They are both requesting augmentations to the 2017-18 approved allocations. The first request from Language Access Plan and Support is a net zero impact to the IMF, as the 2017-18 Budget Act had one-time support in the amount of $352,000 for the Video Remote Interpreting Spoken Language Pilot Program. General fund monies were transferred into the IMF and is designated for this purpose only. The second request is for the Jury Management Program. Is $340,000 in addition to their original approved $465,000, bringing their total allocations for the current year, if approved, to $805,000. My apologies. The fund for this program is mandated in statute by Government Code 77209H to be used for this purpose. There is an excess of $857,000 in available funds currently. I should mention that at the March 12, 2018 Judicial Council Technology Committee meeting, an allocation of $804,427 was proposed for 26 jury grant management projects. So the approval of those proposed projects will depend on the confirmation of the increased allocation. So we're asking for a recommendation to approve a total of $692,000 and augmentations for the 2017-18 IMF allocation. Any questions? Anyone willing to make a recommendation or approval motion?
So I just want to clarify to make sure the new members understand. When we look at the IMF account, and we'll do it in more detail once we have final numbers for next fiscal year, there are certain accounts that are restricted for certain types of spending, and one is the jury management program. So even if there is a surplus in that account, you cannot take it and use it on another program. So the net impact to the IMF fund is zero because you can't take it and use it for education and training or anything else. And the interpreters program is similar to that, where because money came in for a designated purpose, it has to be spent on that purpose only. And so what Donna is asking us is to basically approve an accounting adjustment and some increased spending in the jury account. So I wanted to make sure that everyone understood that for these two line items, it does not take away any flexibility. If there was any, if we ever get to a year where there is surplus, and we talk about expansion of programs or training or anything else, these two accounts are not the kinds of accounts that we could look to do that. So I hope that's helpful. I don't know how many of the new members, you know, need this background information, and I'm just trying to provide it if it's helpful.
So this is Mike Planet. I'll move the recommendation.
The judge Blum, I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Great. So, Donna, you can move to the next agenda item.
Great. Judge Barton, did you want to introduce it or talk about it, or would you like me to move?
Basically, it's a proposal to reduce encumbrance reporting in the Trial Court Trust Fund and IMF from 2 times per year to 1 time per year. And eliminate the June 30 report and keep the December 31 report. And Donna, take it away.
All right. In prior TICFAC meetings, a recommendation was adopted for Judicial Council staff to report semi-annually on open encumbrances for the Trial Court Trust Fund and the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund. Encumbrances were to report through June 30, and again through December 31st. The report through December 31 is used as a tool in the planning process of the budget year allocations and in preparation of the fund condition statements. Since the report through June 30 is not used by Judicial Council staff in any process, we are asking for a recommendation that the reporting requirement be reduced to only the December 31 report.
Any questions or discussion? Do we have a motion?
Jim Herman, I'd move.
Paul Marigond, I'll second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, looks like the ayes have it. That concludes the two agenda items. Is there anything else any member would like to discuss before we adjourn?
We have the informational items. If you guys would like anything on that, I'm prepared to discuss the encumbrance reports that have been provided through December 31. And Lotko, I believe, is making his way to talk about the trial court trust fund, this fund condition statement as well. Unless, of course, you guys would prefer to just read through the items on your own.
I think it's helpful if Zonko is around where he could do a very high level of the projections for the trial court trust fund. Is he on his way to the room?
We believe he is. There's also a judicial branch budget committee meeting going on at the same time, and he has been down there. So we were trying to pull him up here and hopefully time it out so that he could get here to discuss it.
Judge Bart, Sherry, this is David. I can occupy some time if it might be helpful to in anticipation of Zlaco's arrival.
Are you going to tell jokes or? Oh, just kidding.
No, my jokes are not that funny.
Okay,
as you know. So I just had a question, and having the information that we have detailed, you know, projected, the estimates going up 2021-22 is extremely helpful. And I know that we still don't know what the budget numbers are going to be for 18-19, but I did have a question because it was shown on the materials or in the materials. There's detailed information as it relates to V3 CMS. And if this is not the time to bring this particular topic up, I can certainly do it at another time. But it relates to the ongoing support for courts that are migrating off of V3. Is this a good time, or should I?
I think so, yeah. I think that's actually a good time, David. And as a reminder for those people who may not know, at the April 2015 Judicial Council meeting, they approved to cease branch funding for V3 after a period of 4 years that ends June 30th of 2019. So I wanted to make sure people were aware of what the Judicial Council decision was so that if you have anything that you want to talk about, we'd have that in mind.
Great. Thanks for the summary. And so one of the things, as all of us have been migrating onto new case management systems have experienced, is that the schedule that we've been given to migrate has been extended, in large part because all of us seem to have acquired this similar vendors, and the vendors have been somewhat taxed in trying to deliver the product either on time or even shortly beyond the schedule that they anticipated. In fact, they're in some instances a year, 2 years beyond what they had expected. And with that in mind, a lot of the courts who were on V3 have been hopeful to meet that deadline without, of course, having to keep V3 sustained longer than necessary. And part of the reason for the urgency has been because it's very expensive. It's very expensive to the trial court trust fund to support the maintenance and the ongoing support
4B3, and that's the reason why the courts received the BCP to get an alternative. What we collectively have been finding is that there's an opportunity to scale the support for the system to just keep the lights on. And by doing so, the costs to maintain it have been reduced. The risk, of course, is that we can't necessarily get all of the bells and whistles that we traditionally have received, but by extending it, it gives all of the courts migrating off of the system a little more time to test some of the applications without having to pay out of pocket the, I think it's $4 or $5 million a year that it costs to keep the system running. So the hope is that by scaling the system back to the keep the lights running mode, we can get a longer time to rely on the support and maintenance of V3 without actually spending any more money. So the end cost would be the exact same. It's just that the additional time would be extremely helpful as courts are working feverishly to move off of E3. So I wanted to bring that topic up because if you look at the information, there is a expectation that funding would stop at June 19. The hope is, of course, to encumber the money such that we can keep it running for as long as the money will last without any further taxing of the TRACOR trust fund. So I just wanted to bring that topic up, and hopefully, since it's not going to be a net increase in dollars, and of course with the challenges that the courts have had migrating over to a new case management system, it certainly would be very welcome by all of the courts, and wanted to just bring that topic up and get a sense from everybody if that's something that it seems reasonable, or if this is something that would require further information to explore.
So can I clarify what I think you said? There are four courts on V3, right? Orange, Ventura, San Diego, and
Sacramento.
And all four courts are requesting to get an extension on the Judicial Council's deadline, which is June 30th of 2019, not to spend additional money, but to find a way where the amount that the IMF and the Trial Court Trust Fund would have paid through June 19th, if that's X, just extend X a year or two so that there's no additional money spent for those four courts out of these accounts, but to provide more time for the courts to transition. Is that what you're saying?
That's absolutely the case, but I don't think there's enough money to run it past, let's say, 1 year. Having that deadline is something that we obviously all recognize we've got to work forward or toward. But again, as you just stated, there's no request for $1 in additional money to be earmarked to keep the system supported. It's merely the time. Rather than, June 30th, 2019, all funding stops, the idea is to allow the remaining funds that have been encumbered or earmarked for it to just run out and for as long as the money will take the support of the project for the transition.
So may I make a suggestion, since it's not an action item, David? Why don't you work with the IT department of the Judicial Council to come up with a proposal that would show what the cost would have been through June 30th, 2019, and then what the proposal would be, because I think we would have to make a recommendation from this committee to the Trial Court Trust, I'm sorry, to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, to the council, since they've already made this decision. And that way it would be listed on the agenda as an action item and we could go from there. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Thank you.
David, Jim Herman, just a question on the technical side. Has the gap analysis been completed between V3 and alternate vendors? And I know that was being done by Orange.
The gap analysis has been completed, and in fact, all of the courts have been engaged with their respective vendors and moving towards implementation and transferring from V3. So all of that is underway. It's just taking a little bit longer for that transition to take place, and the additional time would be extremely helpful to the courts without having to assume the full costs of remaining on V3. So we know that the money is going to run out. We're just trying to get a little extra life out of the V3 support while we transition over.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you.
One of the problems we've had in San Diego is just getting the resources from Tyler to make this transition, and they're stretched very thin.
Oh, don't we know it, those of us that are Tyler courts. Yeah.
So, I'll be happy to work with the Judicial Council IT folks and the fiscal folks to make sure that we can appropriately notice everybody and provide the detailed information to move this thing forward for consideration.
Great. Thank you. Zlatko is here to talk briefly about the Trial Court Trust Fund Condition Statement on an overview.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for being patient with me. I was JBBCing, so to speak, and had to run from that to this. So, you know, as it stands now, at the state level Trial Court Trust Fund, things I think are in a better place. I think for me, sort of at the fundamental level, looking at the second page and the unrestricted fund balance being positive is positive. As you can see in 14-15, when we ultimately, you know, didn't have the resources necessary to cover what we knew were the sort of restricted areas of and set asides for things like the interpreter funds and things like that. So, you know, I feel a little bit better about things. I know, though, locally, though, you know, your local civil assessments are, you know, not nearly what they used to be, you know, pre-amnesty. And so while this is not reflective of that per se, you know, we know that you know, the overall revenues into our system are not in the best place as it relates to those revenues. But as far as the statewide TCTF, you know, I think we're sort of a little bit better fiscal health. I know I'm still working with the Department of Finance on, you know, the issues of current year adjustments for the anticipated shortfall. I think staff have it preliminarily in the low single digits, middle single digits of millions, and we're hopeful that they will make that adjustment. They clearly did make the adjustment for the estimated shortfall in the budget year, but we're still working through with them, given the sort of the magnitude of that number. If in fact that there's some struggles with them, I at least know that we can manage to fully fund the allocations from the estimated fund balance in 17-18 if needed. But we definitely not want that to happen, in working with the Department of Finance on getting them to understand both current year and budget year base allocation adjustments are needed, especially as we came out of the driver's license hold discussions of last spring and summer. And that is sort of the high-level issues for us. I mean, maybe it might be that while there's still criminal sort of a soft, there's been some recovery on the civil side, which we were waiting for a long time to see some change. I don't know if you're seeing that in your caseloads locally as far as civil filings, but we're seeing at least on the revenue side some improvement there, which is good and is mitigating the loss on the criminal side of things. That's thus far the backfill is not as big as we anticipated when the estimates were provided to the Department of Finance for the governor's budget. But you know, we still talk about the revenue instability and concerns about revenues into the trial courts and the branch. And you know, we just see actually some sort of like misstatements made in the analysis, the statements made for the amnesty bill related to extending, you know, a 6-year amnesty and some references to increasing civil assessment revenues. and those levels and the kinds of things that Amnesty would be dealing with were increased to offset budget reductions. I mean, the only thing that had happened of any note was actually funding increased security costs many, many years ago. So, you know, we're still battling the misperception of how it is that the branch is funded and who we're relying upon to support the branch's operations. So, you know, again, if that comes up in any of your legislative meetings, be careful about, you know, the sensitivity there. But if there's some misstatements made by folks, I think we have to be gentle in explaining to them the need for stable, adequate funding and a system that requires a three-branch solution to really make this picture not as complicated and a little more stable for everybody. Anything else you think I should touch on, Donna?
No, I think that covers it. Does anyone have any questions of LATCO or myself?
So this is just Mike Planet. I just made a comment. So this is a much better looking picture than what we were looking at a year ago. Hopefully we'll keep on the same track here because I'm really encouraged by what we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not the topic of this fund condition, but, you know, there's still continued softness seeing in the state court facility construction fund, the immediate and critical needs account. So, you know, there's still going to be issues that this branch is going to have to resolve in terms of solvency. I don't know if any of you looked at the LAO's reviews of the construction program, but they recommend, you know, eliminating the two funds effectively and dumping all of the revenues in there and making all of our SIL facilities programs funded out of the general fund. You know, those are the kinds of transformative discussions that I think, you know, are good to hear. But if the legislature is not willing to entertain that, you know, then we're going to have some, you know, some challenges ahead. And I'm, you know, we're already thinking about how we inform the next administration that on their watch will be this real solvency issue. Now, yes, relative to the TCTF, we're in a much better place, but those two funds are very important to all of you and all your operations, nonetheless. So thanks for that, Mike. I wish I could take credit for it.
Okay, anything else? Would you guys like an overview on the topic, the other informational topic, or do you guys just want to kind of pour through those on your own, or what do you prefer? Okay, I hear quietness. Are we ready to adjourn? Is that our next step, folks? We will be looking at the May 18th R&E meeting. We will be looking at the allocations for the IMF and the TCTF. So we'll have an opportunity to look a little deeper into the fund condition statements and stuff at that particular meeting.
Okay, any other questions or items for the good of the order?
Nope.
Sherry, shall we adjourn?
I think that's a great idea.
All right, thank you all.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.